Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Happy Christmas Eve to each and every one of you. As we roll through this Tuesday together, brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance has been serving the Valley for more than 50 years. Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Here at the Sunbury Motor Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau. And here in the Chateau, it's nice and warm here today, even though it's colder outside today, especially after the weekend. We're about 35 to 40 degrees colder today than we were on Sunday? Amazing. Well, it's great to have you with us. The Chateau is nice and warm and cozy today on this Christmas Eve. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. They wish each and every one of you a happy holiday season and a very safe holiday season. Bowl game coming up tonight, Sheraton Hawaii Bowl. Should be a good one, actually. It's actually one of the better ones. Oregon State, Boise State. I like the matchup very much, and that is this evening beginning at 8. All right. Now, we're sitting here in Sunbury, and Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, is in Los Angeles. So this is Tony's version of verbal/liquid lunch. Tony, great to have you with us on this Christmas Eve.
Yeah, welcome back.
First of all, to you and yours, happy holidays. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, you as well. Absolutely. Hope you guys are staying warm.
Yeah, we are. We're hanging in there. Hey, let's do a little quick primer on the Super Bowl first so people know that, because it's relatively close to our area, obviously. How many tickets does each team get, and then the two participating teams, how many do they get in the stadium of 82,000?
Yeah, so it's always fascinating when people hear how the Super Bowl works, because it gives you a good idea of what to expect if you're planning on going to the game, right? So the actual two teams that play in the game itself gets 17.5% of the stadium each. So if you're talking about a stadium that's seating 80,000 people, 17.5% of that is going to whoever the NFC champion is, and 17.5% is going to the AFC champion. So they don't even know they're going until, right, you know, 2 weeks prior to the game. And before that, the two teams that they beat in the championship games, they actually get a large chunk of tickets as well. I believe it's 8.5% each. So now you're talking about half the stadium where the people who are getting the tickets don't even know they're going to get them until 3 weeks prior to the game.
Right.
So, you know, you hear a lot of, I'd really like to go to the Super Bowl, but I hear they're running out of tickets, and I don't know if there's going to be anything left on StubHub or Ticketmaster's Ticket Exchange or any of those things. And the truth is, there's going to be plenty left, because most of the people who have the tickets don't even have them yet. The only thing that's out there right now are the ones that have been given to the teams in advance, and each team gets, I believe it's 1.5% of the stadium. And then there's some tickets left over for sponsors and for the league to use.
Right. One thing that CBS had requested, and it started with the 2009 Final Four at Ford Field in Detroit, was they were very specific with the NCAA. They wanted students by the court.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because they were very concerned about the lack of atmosphere in the stadium. They were very concerned about the lack of atmosphere in the stadium.
And there's absolutely no atmosphere at the Final Four. It's a fun event. I enjoy going. I've been to a number of them. But as far as the game goes, it's nowhere close to the passion you see at a college game, you know, that's hosted in the Big Ten or hosted in the ACC or anything like that.
And what they've done was, they, in order to at least make it sound better on TV, they want 2,000 students around the court, 500 from each school.
Right.
That's their way of trying to change things around. Now, around the court, in terms of miking it, it sounds better. But you've been in the building; it's still flat in the building, right?
Yeah, the problem with the Final Four is it's cavernous, right? There's so many tickets; they've really overdone it. I mean, I like the Final Four; it's a fun event. But as far as an experience as a fan, I mean, you're talking about having way too many people for a basketball game, 50,000 up to 77,000, I believe they had 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people who literally cannot see the court. You know, Jerry Jones, I do have to give him a high five on the sense that, you know, he realizes that at, you know, AT&T Stadium down there, he put in that giant board because he knows that the people at the top can't see. Right? When they were selling tickets for the basketball tournament, or they were selling tickets for the Pacquiao-Claudie fight, because that's what really brought it up, is a, you know, a small boxing match. He said, you're not going to be able to see. We know. We have a giant high-definition TV. You're going to be able to experience the event with people around you, and now maybe they'll come, you know, buy beers and that sort of thing, and they charge $10 a ticket. Most of these NCAA locations don't even have that. So it's very different, and the Super Bowl feels the same way. I mean, the Super Bowl, as much as you want it to be a circumstance where you have a very robust, you know, ambiance, a very robust environment where the fans are passionate, look, the reality is those fans don't even know they're going to the Super Bowl until 2 weeks prior. Right. Half the tickets are already gone. And by the time they do get there, you know, they're only representing a third of the building.
Right, literally a third. And in this case, it would end up being, what, about 37,000, 38,000 of the 82,000 tickets that would be available for them.
That would be represented by the two teams that are in. And those two teams, they have corporate sponsors they have to give tickets to. Teams sell tickets, right? 10 years ago, they would try to deny the fact, and if you remember, Mike Tice got in trouble for selling his tickets for the Minnesota Vikings. Teams openly sell their tickets now, and many of them sell them directly to ticket brokers who then go out and sell them out to the customers. So,
and why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they? I mean, they're not going to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you're not going to attend and you've taken care of your sponsors, then what's the purpose, right? So I'll be very interested to see where it goes this year. The thing that we've seen, which is very different from years past, is what we expected with the weather. You know, everything's price-wise has not been as expensive as everybody thought it was going to be. Everybody thought, you know, the prices are going to be double what they regularly are because it's in New York. And they're not. They're actually not too far away from where they've been. But the suites and the club seats are exponentially more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to sit in a killer seat down by the field, you can do it for $4,000 or $5,000, which is a lot of money for all of us, right? But you can do it for $4,000 or $5,000. But if you want to get a decent club seat where you can have access to sit inside, it's $10,000 plus.
Right.
People are paying twice as much just to have access to not sit in the snow in New York in February.
This is the last year of the BCS, so Florida State and Auburn fans already know that they're going to the Rose Bowl, and they know it's one stop.
Yep.
Next year, for the first time ever, you're going to be talking about semifinal games, and then fans having to re-up a week later to go.
Mm-hmm.
How interested are you going to be to see how that plays out between choices made by fans as to go to a semifinal, the final, or both?
I'm really curious to see the economics on the Bowls side. I'm surprised that they're allowing the national championship game to not take place in the major bowls. You know, they announced yesterday that it's going to be at Raymond James Stadium, and they're going to have one in Arlington, and they're going to have one in Glendale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that surprises me. I was fully expecting the whole time that they were going to do it in the BCS Bowl actual headquarters. They're going to have it at the Rose Bowl. They're going to have it at the Sugar Bowl. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how well that traditional bowl ambiance holds up when, you know, is there still going to be as much of a draw to the Rose Bowl knowing it's just a semifinal game? Is there going to be as much of a draw to, you know, the Orange Bowl and those? And I do think that you're going to see a pretty healthy environment for it, just in the sense that, you know, corporations are very, very in tune with their teams. I think what we're going to see happen, I think the championship games are going to get hurt. As far as the Big 12 championship, the Big 10 championship in Indianapolis, the you know, Pac-12 title game. I think now you're saying, okay, well, that used to be our semifinals, right? We'll sell that out for Auburn, Alabama. But now you're saying, okay, you got Auburn, Alabama. Now they're going to go play Michigan State or Stanford in the Orange Bowl, and then we're going to go to Arlington. I think you're going to max it out.
I know I blew my broadcast partner Jack Hamm away with this number. I said, look, the Pro Bowl last year had a 12.3 television rating. And he said,
yeah. He says,
are you kidding me? I said, no, it had a 12.3. ESPN owns, I think, 28 of the 35 bowl games where they actually own them.
Mm-hmm.
And the television ratings for them, the attendance is really mediocre to lousy at most of these games, but the TV ratings are good.
Yep.
On the corporate side of it, corporations are the ones that keep bowl games afloat. Safe to say? Safe to say
absolutely.
That,
yeah. They're the ones who pay the big money. They're the ones who sponsor it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you can talk about the NCAA. But we're talking about the Rose Bowl game presented by Vizio, right? It's, you know, they're the ones writing the big checks.
Right. Is it worth it the corporations to support a bowl game the way they do? Your opinion when you're talking to people?
The softer games, only if they have a really, really strong team. And by team, I don't mean the actual college team. I mean the team at the company. I think a lot of them, they do it incorrectly, and they don't want to be a part of it anymore. You know, Nokia sponsored the Sugar Bowl. And I met with their CFO, who was the CFO at the time of that event. And he finally went in their third year of that contract. And at that event, he said, this is not worth our money at all. And they canceled their contract 2 years later. Mm. So, you know, if they're doing it correctly on the broad scale, absolutely, they can get value out of it. Are there enough companies doing this the right way to support 28 to 35 bowl games? No, there are not.
TV ratings aren't bad though, and the logos on the field. I mean, and I'm talking everything from the Gilden New Mexico Bowl to the Avco 100 Independence Bowl, all the way up to what we're talking about with the Allstate Sugar Bowl and so forth. Logos on the field, is it enough for eyeballs to see the logo? Is that enough of an investment?
I think it's the opportunity to have the logo on the field, and then just sell the advertising around it, and that's what's selling. I mean, the reality here is the NCAA. As much as they say they're in the business of the student-athlete, they're more in the business of selling diapers and cars and beers and, you know, whatever else they can sell to the consumer who's, you know, consuming their event when they're watching it on television. So for that reason, they'll continue to do it. They'll continue to do the tight frame video, right, where you just don't see that nobody is attending the Las Vegas Bowl or the Heritage Bowl or, you know, whatever other bowl there is that we don't even, the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. There's a number of them that we've probably never heard of.
Right.
And the reality is, you know, Are the ticket sales going to be the thing that allows us to succeed? Not really. Now, what's been interesting of it is, you know, how badly it's hurt the non-BCS or the smaller schools that actually go to a BCS game. You know, you have these huge businesses around them. I don't know if you read the news about the Fiesta Bowl, the scandal they had there where the guys running the Fiesta Bowl were basically pocketing millions of dollars over a number of years.
Yes, I actually know those guys personally. So.
Yeah, exactly. So we all saw it a couple of years ago. And, you know, all this money at these games, but then when Northern Illinois gets in or Connecticut gets in, the school takes a massive hit because they just don't have the student body necessary to sell 20,000 tickets, and they're forced to do it. So if we're in a circumstance where ticket revenue doesn't matter, and we know it doesn't matter, we're just trying to sell, you know, sponsorship rights and the ratings, then why are we tacking these schools with these huge hits? I mean, I think we're not far from a school actually saying no to a major bowl because they don't want to carry that huge loss from having to sell tickets.
Right. Now, we've talked about stadium experience a lot. Penn State is taking down its old video boards as we speak. They're going to be replacing them and lifting into place brand new HD boards.
Mm-hmm.
From the ticket point of view and the corporate point of view, the importance of a move like that as an investment down the road?
It's, you know, there's two schools of thought on it. There's the Mark Cuban school of thought, which is if you're not looking at the event itself, we're losing. So he's very, very forward and very, very public about saying if you're looking at your smartphone, if you're engaging in the advertising around you instead of watching the event itself, and we're not doing our job.
Right.
We want you to be here. We want you to be present. I actually don't agree with that. I agree with you have to compete with a plugged-in world. You have to give people the opportunity to have the heightened level of experience watching a game. And part of the experience of watching the game now is that a play happens and we get to see three replays of it. And that's what you need with a high-definition video board, so you're not missing out on those things. The Chicago Bears have been playing around with actual handheld TV sets that you can go and they rent them to you during the game. And allows you to, you know, see the game, get highlights from the game, get a little bit, a couple of different camera angles, but you also have the ability to check your fantasy football stats. So, you know, teams are very aware of this. They're doing a number of different things to do it. I think the video board is incredibly important for the reason we mentioned earlier with Arlington, with the stadium, the AT&T Stadium there.
Right.
There are people who are attending Penn State games who don't have the greatest seats. And if you give them an HD video board that allows them to catch the action that they're missing, they're more likely to continue to attend.
Also takes a lot of pressure off Jack Hamm and me because every time every time there's been a replay where They're going back to see whether or not the play is upheld or not. They'll look back at the broadcast booth, and we have to do the gladiator thumbs up or thumbs down. They show this thing in HD now, exactly. Tony, really. The pressure's all off of us now. It's all good.
Yeah, now you can just wait until you see it on the HD screen. It'll be clearer than anything you've seen, which is maybe not a good thing for the umpires and the referees, but for the rest of us, it is.
If you were to sit down with somebody and they would say, you know, Tony, let's talk. You know, you understand the corporate world. You understand tickets. You understand buying habits of people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we were to design a stadium or an arena. What are the things that do you think that stadium or arena needs now where it's in the 21st century and it makes corporate buying or individual buying of tickets something where it's a must?
One of the most important things, so it really depends on what kind of team you are, right? The answer is always going to be different for an MLS club than it is for a college. But the most important thing, and the thing that they're battling with, is the Wi-Fi connectivity, is the ability for people to stay online and to handle that much load, so to speak, at the games. That would be number one. Number two, you know, everybody talks about the smaller stadium. And, well, in some cases, that makes sense, right? At Duke, it makes sense to have Cameron Indoor being a smaller stadium. But why would you have a smaller stadium at Penn State or at Michigan or at Ohio State where people are begging for more and more opportunities? So really what it comes down to is you need to have the ability for an ambiance pregame. You need a place where people can be prior and they can be after. We also need to be in a circumstance where I can be mobily connected at all times, and I have the ability, if the game gets out of hand, to enjoy something around there. The other major thing that we've seen, especially here in North America, has been the public transportation piece. We're quickly being trained that if it's not easy to get in and out of the park, we're not going to go anymore. And that's really starting to happen in the urban hub. So hey, those are the three major things. That if I sat down and said, I'm going to build a stadium tomorrow, what are the things I need? I need Wi-Fi connectivity at all times throughout the stadium. I need an ambiance before and after the game, whether that's, you know, what they're talking about in Oakland with the Coliseum Park or what they've done successfully at Fenway and Wrigley and places like that. And then I do need to be in a circumstance where, you know, the game day experience that's happening before and after the game can also be enjoyed during the game with HD video boards and the ability for me to have the same kind of viewing experience and interaction in my seat that I can have at home. That's the real danger, is I have a community at home now that I want to be able to keep up with. Right. And I'd like to be able to do that while in a game. I mean, it's amazing how it's changed. I was laughing earlier, you know, way back in the 1900s when I used to attend, you know, USC football games, and I would take a Walkman to try to listen to another game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was acceptable then. But now, you know, if I'm going to go to the game, I need to be able to see what's going on in the other games.
Amazing. Tony, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Enjoyed it as always. Look forward to the next month, and to you and your family, happy holidays.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you guys.
Tony Knopp, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management, on the business side of sports. And moving forward, that becomes an even bigger part. And we talk about TV contracts. What's made the Dodgers a far more viable entity? Huge TV contract. I was talking to a good friend of mine last week who's one of the part owners of the Padres. They now have put together a huge TV contract. And that's what you see. Nesson has been a big part of what the Red Sox financial success has been. It's given them flexibility. Yes Network, a huge part of the Yankees' success and what's allowed them to be able to pay big money for the players that they need. So the financial, the business side, what you get from tickets, luxury suites, parking, radio, television, it all is, they're all pieces of the puzzle that allow us to enjoy sports. Frank Podana, York Daily Records, coming up in the next half hour. We're going to talk a little bit about Bill O'Brien and the recently completed Penn State football season. We'll be talking with Frank Podana of the York Daily Record. Our thanks to Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, for joining us this half hour. Previous half hour is Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror. And in the opening half hour, Pete Jensen from NHL.com. You can go back to our podcast and hear any of these interviews along the way as well. Here it is, Christmas Eve, but it's also Tuesday. That means we're brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, business, life insurance. They take care of all those needs and much more. They've served the Valley for more than 50 years.
Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, Kratzer Insurance. Service and price mean everything to them because they know it means everything to you. We're here at the Sunbury Motors Studio, a.k.a. the Chateau, on this Christmas Eve. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I know a lot of you have been able to get in that last-second shopping. Some of you are doing some wrapping right now, maybe getting ready to go to services, maybe on your way to services. Well, we're glad you picked News Radio 1070 WKOK to be a part of your Christmas Eve and SJS. We'll take tomorrow off, by the way. And then we will come back to work set to go on Thursday with more sports. So a lot going on. And Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record is coming up next. So we are far from finished working on this Christmas Eve. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr with you. Great to have you with us as we roll to the news here at the bottom of the hour. News coming up next on this Christmas Eve here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Congratulations! Now that you've gone to Sunbury Motors, that vehicle of your dreams is now a reality. To keep it running at its absolute best, you can rely on the experts at Sunbury Motors Service Department. They offer a wide range of car repairs and service updates, including general repairs and that all-important regular maintenance. If a factory recall is the issue, Sunbury Motors Service Department can handle them all, from all the major manufacturers like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. All warranty service and repair is done with the utmost care because they treat your vehicle just like it's their own. Whether you need an oil change, transmission service, brakes, or even engine repair, Sunbury Motor Company has you covered. From the smallest item all the way up to the largest, the service department at Sunbury Motor Company will do it all with the same attention to detail. Visit sunburymotors.com to use their handy schedule service to make your next appointment. Or call 888-536-8017. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And on routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour on this Christmas Eve. Great to have you with us. Don't forget Santa Claus, our special coming up this evening. It's an 80-year tradition on this station. I've talked about this before. We've had certain trends in the business. I don't think you can actually talk about the business of radio on radio at times, because as an entertainment medium, people actually are interested in it. One of the trends that we've had, and for longtime listeners to News Radio 1070 WKOK, you think of all the local personalities who have been on board here over the many years. And there's been a trend in radio which really started essentially in the 90s and really started kicking, really kicked into the gear in the 90s and then into the early 2000s. It was a lot of, quote, syndicated programming. Well, there's now also been a trend back, and that trend back has been to more local personalities connecting with you, the listeners. I mean, let's face it, I know that we have some outstanding shows like Pharrell on the Bench and Dan Patrick. That's a nice mix as to what we have during the course of the day. But think about what Mark Lawrence does every morning, with On the Mark, and how it connects you with all the local issues and stories in our area. The same thing what we try to do with this show. Yeah, there's certain things that are national that we deal with and talk about all the time, but we can bring a local twist to it as well. You're not going to get the in-depth talk on Bill O'Brien and what's happening with him. You're not going to get the in-depth talk about what's happening with Penn State wrestling. You're not going to get a Penn State wrestling, you know, and sit here and talk about the Iowa dual meet like we did yesterday, or the national championship volleyball deal like we talked about yesterday, or about men's basketball like we talked about yesterday. You're not going to get that. I don't mean no national show is going to sit there and go, hey, I mean, which national show said, hey, Penn State, Iowa dual meet? You know, I know as much as you love wrestling, it's not a national story. You're not going to hear it on ESPN. You're not going to hear it on Dan Patrick. You're not going to hear it on Pharrell on the Bench. You're just not going to. But we talked about Penn State and Iowa and the dual meet and how it played out and what it means long term and so forth. That's what a local show does, which then brings us back to Santa Claus. That's an 80-year tradition on this station. I mean, 80 years. 1933 to 2013, Santa Claus airing on this station. And think about all that time through the Depression, through World War II, through the Korean War, through the boom of the 50s, the tragedies of the 60s, the craziness of the 70s, the 80s in the Reagan years, and then the 90s, and then up till now. All these generations have come through, and because of that, and we still have had on the air Santa Claus all 80 years, and he's been on the entire month, and people love it. It's connecting with our community, just like the Needy Family Fund connected with our community. Very, very important, and we had a goal of 75,000. We flew past that goal, but believe me, everything, every penny is being used to help out people up and down the valley. They don't want the help. They don't want it, but they know they need it. There's a big difference. So to all of you who made contributions, thanks so much. And today's show, you know, this may be Christmas Eve, but it's still Tuesday. And if it's Tuesday, that means we're brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant, Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. And we've talked about News Radio 1070 serving the Valley for 80 years. Well, Kratzer Insurance has served the Valley for more than 50 years. Find out why. Mount Pleasant, Mills, and Northumberland. I wish each and every one of you a safe and happy holiday season. I am at the Chateau. Jack Ham himself named the Chateau. By the way, it was Jack's birthday yesterday, just so you know. Yesterday, Jack's birthday? Yeah. My good friend. Not just my broadcast partner, my good friend. And we're very fortunate, the two of us, Jack and I, that it's not just a broadcast partnership, but, you know, people always say, are you guys friends? Yes, very much so. So, but he's the one that nicknamed this the Chateau. He's been here at the Sunbury Motors studio, and it is, of course, brought to you by good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And on behalf of Kevin, Sarah Bartlett, Bob Buhner, we wish each and every one of you a safe and happy holiday season. Now, we've done this show now. We're going into our third year of doing this show. And I've had on so many beat writers that I have just such great respect for. They do great work. And I'm not going, and as you know, it's a long list from Scranton to Harrisburg to Philadelphia to Pittsburgh to State College to Altoona and so forth, Reading with Rich. And then one day I sat back and I thought to myself, is there anybody on the beat that we have not had on this show yet? And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, we haven't had Frank Bodani from the York Daily Record on, and he's one of those guys I have immense respect for. And Frank, I'm sorry it's been so long. My apologies. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, no problem, Steve. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you. Well, we're obviously in an interesting cycle right now. I mean, it's to be expected that Bill O'Brien's name is going to come up. But when you look at what they're doing recruiting, and obviously I can't, you know, for NCAA reasons, I can't mention who they just got, but they did get another major piece to the recruiting class that verbaled yesterday and people found out about today. I mean, when you see them recruiting and going to New York and going to Hershey and so forth, isn't it obvious the guy's throwing his heart and soul into his current job?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, I think people always forget that Bill O'Brien did spend a lot of years coaching college before he went to the NFL. And it seems to me that he enjoys working with the young guys. Like, that's something that he just really gets into. And, I mean, we know that he likes the NFL as well. But I just think that, you know, he might be more of a college guy than some people realize.
When you look at them winning 15 games in 2 years, based on where everything happened to be on, the sanctions were announced July 23rd, so the morning of July 24th of 2012, how do you look at 15 wins in 2 years based on circumstances?
Oh, I think, I mean, I wasn't with maybe the doomsayers at the beginning who thought they might only win one or two games, but I think I was more as if you just didn't know what to expect. And I think that even having said that, 15 wins in 2 years, and they were so close to a handful of others. That's the thing, is that the games they did not win, most of them, you know, they were close to winning. And I think that they were consistent. And I think that's an unbelievable testament to not just the job that Bill did himself, but look at the job that he did hiring his staff. And I think that's, he did an incredible job with that under the circumstances as well. So, you know, hey, he should be in the running for Coach of the Year again.
And not only that, but I mean, it's logical to hear his name come up for the NFL. I mean, it's logical, and it's a compliment to him and the job he's done, right?
Sure, and I think that, you know, he has an agent, and agents are going to market, you know, their clients, and I think that, like you said, is a good thing. I think if he's out recruiting right now, we don't know what he's telling his recruits, but if he's, you know, if he's telling them that he's going to stay, and yet the NFL is coming after him, that's all the better for him and for Penn State, I believe.
You mentioned the close games. Of the 24 games he has coached, 8 have been decided by a touchdown or less. And Penn State's, by the way, for the record, 5-3 in those games. But that's mm-hmm. how close they're playing these games.
Yeah, I mean, and those are the games that stand out to me almost as much as some of the wins. is the circumstances, you know, you're playing with less scholarship players. And you have, especially even last year, you have all the negative things that you're trying to work through. And yet, here they are against a team like Nebraska the past 2 years and easily could have won both of those games. And, you know, of course, Nebraska has their full complement of 85 scholarships and Penn State doesn't. But you could see what the coaching staff instilled in the players and how the players responded. And, well, I think if you're a Penn State fan, it's every game, you know, a great thing to see because the effort was always there, even if sometimes there were breakdowns, you know, across the board, the effort was always there.
You were in a primary Penn State area. That York area, there is a deep passion for Penn State football. How has it played out among the fan base in your area the last couple of years? What kind of feedback have you received?
I mean, I think people are overwhelmingly supportive. And you're right. I mean, we have a branch campus in York, and there's a lot. I mean, I went to high school in York County, and I'd say most of my friends ended up at Penn State in one fashion or another. So, yeah, I think it's overwhelming. I think people, you know, everything is the world we live in today where everybody wants things quickly, and a lot of times people don't have a lot of patience. So I think people worry when they hear Bill's name go up for maybe being rumored for this job or next. How long is he going to be here? Because it's so different than the way things used to be. But that's reality. And it's a good thing, like you mentioned before. And I think people sometimes might be a little bit worried that they'd like to see Bill here and see him get his full complement of players and scholarships and see what he can do. But I think everybody's been overwhelmingly supportive. Maybe the best thing Bill has done is the way he's handled coaching the past 2 years, the way he's handled his public image and Penn State, the way he's worked that. And I don't know if he's done everything right there.
Frank, you mentioned the instantaneous nature of today's culture. Mm-hmm. Has that changed your job at all as to how you will go about business now compared to 10 or even 20 years ago?
Well, yeah. A good example is with social media and the internet, everything, there's a pressure to be first. There's a pressure to be at least in the first wave. And, you know, but you still have to maintain accuracy, and you still have to check sources, and you still have to get the truthful part of things, but yet you're always being pushed to go quicker. And I think there's, you know, hey, it's a good thing if there's, if somebody is pushing you to do your job better, but you have to sometimes put the brakes on. So that's more difficult. And also just look at State College. 15 years ago, how many people were covering Penn State football in State Colleges? I mean, now, that's like there's four or five times, it seems like, as many media people covering Penn State just in State College. So those people are close by. They probably get, you know, they run into players and coaches, and they have a little more access. And so it's tougher. I think it's tougher, and I'd say, I guess, overall tougher in a good way.
But your paper's been able to maintain the commitment of keeping you around the team always, on the road and so forth. How important has that been, that you're, you know, you're traveling around them and so forth, and that the paper understands that?
Yeah, that's a big point, because, you know, it is a cost measure. And in this day and age, the, you know, journalism and the newspaper industry is changing, and it's becoming harder. And finances sometimes aren't always there, but to at least make the commitment to send you to wherever Penn State plays is a big thing, because, like you said, it's not even the interviews you get. It's not like we get a lot of interviews or extra FaceTime with players when we go on the road, but just being around to observe, being at the games on the sidelines the last 5 minutes. You get to see things. You get to see interactions. And that's crucial, not just for your story that day, but I think for understanding players, their personalities. And it all builds upon one another. It's hard to explain, because it's not something you can put right out there all the time to show people, but it builds in your understanding of how, you know, the players and the coaches work.
Well, it gives you a feel. I mean, mm-hmm. and you cannot put a price on feel, and it also gives you a better shot at using your instincts as to how to maybe ask a question of somebody, or a reason why, or an angle that you're going for. You have to actually be there to do that. I mean, at least I think so.
Yeah, and I think, like, for example, after the Minnesota game, we were in the post-game media room, and you could get Bill's demeanor. You know, his demeanor then was different than after maybe a couple of the other losses. I don't know. You might describe it whichever way you want, but I don't know if it, maybe his players were more frustrated, but you could tell he was maybe a little shorter with us. He didn't let his players talk to us. So by being there, you could kind of see the way that he responded to the situation. And, you know, if you were home watching on TV, you can't get that kind of thing.
Okay. Now, the observations of Christian Hackenberg, and it's a standard question always, but I think it's important that any organization moving forward in football has to identify who their franchise quarterback is going to be. They've obviously identified him. What kind of growth did you see in him as the season went?
Well, I think it's amazing the kid they got to begin with that just came there in July. Yeah. I mean, I think Bill was able to go out and figure out, this is the guy I want, and it's not just because of his arm strength and his size. And his numbers. It was because of his intangibles and what he has, his mind, his makeup. He saw that. So he thought to himself, I know I can work with this kid quickly. And I think Christian just went out and just backed up every one of those thoughts. I think that he grew as the season went with his decision-making. You know, he was always pretty calm at the beginning, but I think he seemed like he got more comfortable, and he seemed more calm as the season went. And I think what a great way for him to show all that in that last game. I mean, even if he didn't have that last game against Wisconsin the way he did, he still had a great year. But for him to be able to almost, in a sense, with some of his teammates, just put it all together, the way he stood in the pocket on that touchdown pass to Eugene Lewis, the long one, yeah. When a guy's bearing down basically at his lower section on his legs, and he just stood in there, and almost, I mean, how is that didn't look like a freshman? And maybe there's probably things Bill O'Brien tended to think. There's things that Christian does that seniors don't do, and then some guys he's had that are older will never do.
There's no question about that. This is going to be under the guise of guess and speculation. I usually don't like to go that route, but I'll make an exception this time because I'm in the mood to.
Okay.
Do you think we've seen the bottoming out with the sanctions because of the increase in scholarships, and maybe the door being open to a bowl game next year?
Yeah, I think so. I think getting the extra five scholarships is movement in the other direction, which was key, was important. I think that at least, you know, he can go out and get five more scholarship kids. Who knows if any of those will be able to play next year and contribute how much, but there's depth there. So there's a little more depth there all of a sudden he can bring in. Instead of having five walk-on kids, he has five kids that probably are maybe a little bit ready sooner that could help on special teams. You know, somebody asked me last night, he needs to hire a special teams coach. Well, I'm not sure what he's thinking. But I think part of the problem was they had to rely on so many kids on special teams last year that maybe weren't ready. Now, all of a sudden, he has five more scholarships, more the next year. And being maybe, you know, like you said, the door's open for the bowl game ban to be repealed. He can. That's a feeling that I think recruits can get to. So, yeah, I mean, my thought is that you've seen the worst of it, and if 15 wins in 2 years is the worst of it, that's not bad.
Should he stay and be a part of this? How anxious are you as a reporter to see what a Bill O'Brien program with a full shot on an even playing field would look like?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you don't root as a reporter. I didn't go to Penn State, and you don't root for the team. But I, in a sense, maybe a selfish sense, I'd like to see him and his staff, whoever he has, you know, keeps on his staff. I'd like to see what they can do with a full complement of players because – he's been a head coach for 2 years, so you don't know long-term how great he's going to be as a head coach, but you already know he's a really good recruiter. I mean, for him to be able to bring in Christian Hackenberg and Adam Brenneman and all these other kids under the circumstances, so you know he's a great recruiter. Let's see what he can do when the playing field's even. Yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that. So hopefully he stays a few more years. I mean, I think he's definitely coming back next year. And, I would think it's more than 50%. It's my thought that he stays even beyond next year. But I guess, you know, who knows, right? Everything's fluid. Who knows what opportunities arise. But, I would love to see him be here for 5 years, see what he can do.
Frank, it's an absolute pleasure to you and your family. Happy holidays, and thanks for the time you gave us today. Appreciate
Thank
it a lot.
You. Great. Enjoy the next week and everything else, and hope to see you soon, Steve.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Hope you've enjoyed today's show. I had a lot of fun with it. Our thanks to Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, Corey Geiger, Altoona Mirror, Pete Jensen from NHL.com, and Frank Bodani from the York Daily Record. Our thanks to Crotcher Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, Homeowners Auto Life Business Insurance. Service and price mean something to you. It's Crotcher Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. They served the Valley for more than 50 years. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I wish each and every one of you a safe, happy holiday season. On behalf of Kevin Herr, Bob Buhner, Sarah Bartlett, and the entire staff here at News Radio 1070 WKOK, I'm Steve Jones. A happy and safe holiday season. We'll talk to you Thursday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.